Our loving, living God is here among us now. God will show us the way. God will guide our steps. God lives in us that we may be a people of hope and giving and serving. Holy One among us, help us be holy people who receive your word and with joy and live your message with love. Amen.
Good morning. Welcome to Concordia. We want to welcome all visitors and guests this morning. Please take a moment to sign the red attendance pad on the inside of the pew.
There are a couple announcements to highlight. This week on Wednesday, we will have a fun day of fellowship and working together to make a fresh home for our new pastor at the parsonage. All are invited to sign up to help from 12:30 to 5 to do yard work and other tasks. The youth group is reminded that we will be helping from 3:30 to 5 on Wednesday. Contact Layla if you need a ride. Sign up is going on now. Registration forms are in the fellowship hall or in the basement on the table. Invite all kids you know entering grades 1 through 6 to sign up. We hope to get up to 40 students involved in this camp at Concordia this summer. The dates are June 17th through 21st at the summer school, classes 11:30 through 5. Lunch and snacks are provided. Sign up for camp in the community. Emily Carncross has an announcement.
We did not have enough time to put a picture directory together, so we would like you to submit a picture of your family that we can put on a picture board. We've started it in Fellowship Hall. We have a ways to go. John Budd would even take your picture for you, and he would just send it right to Layla in the office, and so that Pastor Claire has a way of identifying and putting names and faces together for her. Also, Pastor Claire is getting married at the end of this month. There are a couple cards in Fellowship Hall if you'd like to add your name to it if you haven't already. And if you haven't marked your calendars, there is a catered breakfast on June 23rd in honor of Pastor Doris's retirement and farewell.
We have an announcement today about the Stephen Ministries.
I'm here to bother you again. This week, the video, we're just going to show a short little video of a church that has Stephen Ministry. The other last two Sundays we've looked at the care receivers. Today we're going to look at the caregivers, which would be some of you were praying. And we would like you to pray on your own, in your heart, to see if you can be part of this ministry that I think that we definitely need in our congregation. So we can watch the video.
Life can be very hard. Sometimes people die. There's a lot of uncertainty. Life's not very predictable. If you're like me, you feel stress often. You don't know what the future holds. You're worried about what people think about you. You have grief in your life that you don't really know how to get through. And you know, it can be hard. You need a friend. You need someone to talk to. And I know that when I've gone through lonely periods in my life, times where I'm just kind of by myself with all my worries, with all my fears, it kind of consumes me, it kind of eats me alive. But then there's other times where I've been fortunate enough to have people that kind of come alongside me that I can vent, that I can kind of just spew my junk out and just say, hey, this is what I'm going through. So the Stephens Ministry is a group of people who care. They're trained. They're not pastors. They're not professionals in the sense of being a therapist or a counselor. But they're definitely there to care for people, no matter what your issue is. So if you're having a rough time coping with loss, with grief, and stress, Stephen's Ministry is for you. If there are things that you're wrestling through, things that are plaguing you, things that are preventing you from getting the kind of sleep that you want to get every night, if you don't have a clear conscience about stuff, Stephen's Ministry is for you.
You all heard that really well, right? Sorry, it was our technical glitch. It was the wrong one. So it's still part of the program, right? Now, Holly and I will be available after church in the Memorial Lounge area or in there. If you have any questions, we have a bunch of information for you that you can take. If you think you're interested, there's a interest sheet that you can sign your name on. So we would like to begin. We would like to have our class ready by the first week of July, and we would start having training in the middle of August. to be a Stephen minister. So it gives you a little bit of time, and we ask that you would prayerfully consider being part of our Stephen ministry team. Thank you.
There is an announcement today about the UMW Circle meeting.
One more announcement. I'd like to draw your attention to the bulletin announcement about our UMW meeting tomorrow evening at 6:30 in the Fellowship Hall. Our guest speaker for the evening will be Deb Bauer from Hope House in Baraboo. Not only does Concordia support Hope House financially, but we also, over the past several years, have been a part of their pillow and pillowcase mission. So you can see some of them displayed along the front here. What happens with those pillowcases is to every person who comes to Hope House, they receive a pillowcase. Sometimes it's the only personal item that they own, that's their own. And then when they leave the shelter, they also take that home with them. Last year, Concordia United Methodist members sewed 84 pillows and pillowcases and bought 84 pillows for Hope House. And this year, we already have 34 pillowcases made, and we've purchased 24 pillows already. So I think you would really enjoy Deb's message tomorrow night. She'll share some of the programs and services that Hope House offers to the area and to Sauk County. Thank you. And there will be refreshments.
Please stand as you are able and join in singing our opening song, Joy in the Morning, number 2284 in the Black Hymnal.
Please join me in our praise on the screen above. Jesus reminded the disciples, "Love one another as I have loved you." Jesus taught and witnessed to God's love, "Love one another as I have loved you." Jesus encourages us to love each other with tenderness, compassion, and hope. Let us love one another as Christ loves us. Amen. Please join in singing. Excuse me. Open Our Eyes, number 2286 in the Black Hymnal. We will sing it through two times. Please join me in the prayer on the screen above. Gracious and loving God, we are grateful that you have called us together this day, drawing us from darkness to the glory of your light. May our spirits rejoice at the good news you have for us today. Open our hearts to your healing love, for we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Good morning. I'm going to have to move out in front of you so that I can see all of you. Good morning. Okay. There's a word we're going to use this morning in church that I'm not sure if you know what it means. Do you know what the word love means? No, that's not really the word. We know love. Okay. Transition. Do you know what transition means? Yeah. Okay, you got it. That's what a transition is. And this morning, there's all kinds of transitions. You've had one already, right? What was today in Sunday school? What happened? Okay, are you going to be here next week for Sunday school? Why? Because it's the end of, yeah, okay, so we're transitioning from our school year schedule to the summer schedule, and we don't have Sunday school during the summer. Okay, so that's one of the transitions. Okay, what other kind of transitions do we go through in our lives? What grade are you in now? Fourth? Third? No, you're in second now, aren't you? Did she get a Bible already? Okay, all right. Okay, I believe you. If you know better than I, right? Okay. So what grade are you going into? First grade, okay. Are you in school yet? What grade are you right now? 4K. So what are you going to be next year? 5K. They do have 5K? Kindergarten, okay. All right, yeah. But you'll be five, won't you, when you go to kindergarten? Okay. You're challenging me this morning. I don't know if I can believe you guys, but so far, okay. What other kinds of transitions do we go through? Yep. Transitioning? From math to writing or math to lunch? Going from a kid to an adult? And that's a big transition. When are you going to be an adult? Eighteen? Okay. What else signals that you're an adult? That's a good one. Are you going to be living at home? Are you going to still be in high school when you are 18? Maybe. Probably. Most young people turn 18 before they graduate from high school. But that's one of the other transitions. And we're celebrating that this morning. Okay? We've got two people who are going to be adults after they graduate from high school. And they've got to start adulting. Okay? And that's some kind... Are you bleeding? Okay. Do you want to go back? He's bleeding. And so that's a challenging transition. Now, you guys are finishing school, right? Sunday school. And so our adult teachers, our teachers are finishing for the year too, right? Okay, let's see. There's another kind of transition. What other kind of transitions do we have? Oh, I know one. Sometimes people move into this area from another place, and they're members of a church someplace else. And when they come here, they change their membership from that church to this church. And that's happening this morning. Okay? And a few weeks ago, this is one more transition. A few weeks ago, we had two people who went to St. Louis, and they got trained to be Stephen leaders. And so this morning, we're going to help them transition into that during the worship service. So those are all changes that we go through. Now, when we go through those changes, do we do it all by ourselves? No? Who goes with us when we make changes? You know, one Sunday there was a pastor who was telling a story about a dog, and it was to the children, and so the pastor said, so what's the answer? And they figured out they had a dog, and one kid raised their hand and said, I know the answer's supposed to be Jesus, but it sounds like a dog. So what I'm getting at there is, who goes with us when we go through changes? Jesus, okay. Does anyone else go with you? Yes? Huh? The air? The air goes with you, that's right. Okay? And some people might call that air the Holy Spirit, Livy. Okay? Do your parents go with you through your change from Sunday school to summer? Your parents with you during that? Okay, are your grandparents with you? Okay, so we do have Jesus. We've always got Jesus, but we've also got people that go with us through those changes. Okay, so Jesus is with us, and we've got family and friends who are always with us through our transitions. Okay, will you have a prayer with me? Thank you, God, that we grow. And every year we grow, we go through changes. Thank you that you are always with us through everything and every change that we meet in our lives. Amen. Okay.
Today's gospel reading is from John chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. When Judas was gone, Jesus said, "Now the human one has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify the human one in himself and will glorify him immediately. Little children, I'm with you for a little while longer. You will look for me, but just as I told the Jewish leaders, I also tell you now, where I'm going, you can't come. I give you a new commandment, love each other. Just as I have loved you, so you also must love each other. This is how everyone will know that you are my disciples, when you love each other."
This is still Easter season. Jesus is risen. Christ is risen. All right. This is Easter season, and this Sunday, if you're one of those people that reads the scriptures ahead of Sunday so that you can have an idea of the theme and the flow of worship, all of our scriptures today speak about new love or a new outlook, a new hope, or a new call to love. A new call to love. That short reading, that very short reading, has one simple point. Love is the one thing that Jesus seems to require. He came as an infant to elicit our love. As a teacher, he said the whole Torah hangs on the words about loving God and neighbor. And today he put a twist on this commandment. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. It's almost as if he anticipated that we might struggle with that a little bit. I want to go back to what we didn't hear read this morning, but the familiar reading from Acts. We are all made in the image of God. In the image of God, who is the God of all. God who is the God of all. God who gives the God of all. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Peter has been out evangelizing. He returns from a visit to those who were non-Jews and those who had accepted Christ as their Lord. They'd accepted the Word, Jesus being the Word. They had accepted that Word, that truth. And so he comes back to Jerusalem and he's invited to tell them about his experiences while he's been there. And some of the Jews in Jerusalem take the stance that God doesn't really intend the message of salvation through Jesus to move beyond the Jewish people. They believe that that message that we know through Jesus Christ, that God welcomes and loves us all, they believe that is just to stay within the borders of the people of Israel. But Peter asserts that this visit that he had and a vision that he had was that God is the creator of all. God's question becomes Peter's as well. How can we human beings judge any creation of God's as profane or unclean? Now, while the images that John gives us in Peter that Acts gives us in Peter's dream was primarily about animals. We understand that God used animals to represent who we are as human beings, and that none of us should ever be declared unclean or profane. That was common for the Jewish people. For centuries, they had limited their social interactions with others, and now they were threatened by those who were non-believers. They had dietary laws. They could only eat specific things, and they couldn't mix certain foods together. But in this vision, God, to Peter, has said the barriers have to come down. And God used Peter to bring those down, to destroy the walls. So as we consider, as we continue our Easter journey of new life, we are called to accept all. We are called to receive the message that all human beings are made in God's image. Wouldn't it be nice if we could end, or we could declare an end to all of the isms that we have? Racism, sexism, ageism, youthism. Look around. Really, look around. See all of God's people present with us this morning. Now, there are not a lot of minority people who live in this area, but there are some. And we're not very represented by those who are other than Caucasian, North European Germans. Have we broken down the walls? Have we broken down the barriers that we should? So Peter shared what he had received from God. He came to understand that God works in mysterious ways to help change our attitudes and our perceptions, and we cannot do it alone. Peter had been taught that Gentiles were unclean, and to interact with them made the Jewish people unclean. To sit down at the same table with a Gentile was probably one of the worst things imaginable. And it took this vision of God to change Peter's mind. Now, this same vision, this same God, visited Gentile Cornelius with a vision, calling him to send for Peter. They were aliens to each other. Both men were likely frightened to do this, because changing our habits and changing our customs can be frightening. But the obedience of both of them brought a great blessing to the church. This is a short message with a huge commandment added to it. We are to love one another. And it's nice to leave it there, but Jesus said we are to love one another as Christ has loved us. And it's through our love that the whole world will know that we are Christians. Remember, Jesus speaks these words at the Last Supper. He has just sent Judas out to do what Judas must do. And Jesus knew what that was. Jesus knows that he is close to the end now. And he talks about glorification so that God can be glorified. And I think that when we hear the word glorify, we hear it the same way that many people heard the word Messiah in Jesus' time. When they heard the word Messiah, they had an idea of who that Messiah would be and what that Messiah would be. And I think that when we hear about God being glorified, our picture is too small. Because God was glorified through the cross. God is glorified through Jesus' self-sacrifice. And God is glorified when we do the same. When we are willing to offer ourselves to death if need be, to show love for God's children. That is what glorifies God. And Jesus says, this kind of love is a part of our Christian witness. Now, this conversation in John's gospel goes on from 13 through 15 to the beginning of 16. But it's only in this place that Jesus calls his disciples children. He speaks to them with a parental tone, telling them that they will only have him a little while longer. And he says, those who love him, they will keep his word. And for Jesus, love is a command. And loving is obedience. They are to love one another even to the point of giving their own lives. I give you a new commandment that you love each other. Just as I have loved you, so you must love each other. And we see in the Last Supper, that this is a small part of that, we see in that what that love meant, what love means for Jesus. Love is serving others. I don't know if you were here for our Maundy Thursday service. We had a foot washing, and I got to tell you, I didn't advertise it beforehand. I did that one other time in my ministry, and it was the smallest Maundy Thursday service I ever had. People didn't want their feet washed. And I also have to tell you that the service was a little bit rigged in that I asked people to let me wash their feet. I got their permission beforehand. And you know how many people other than those three came forward to have their feet washed? We're not comfortable having our feet washed. I think it also means that we are often uncomfortable being served. We are called to serve, and we can be very comfortable serving and reaching out, but it's more difficult for us to receive that care. We are commanded to love. Now, with the young people who are here this morning, oh boy, I'm going to age myself. Some of the older people will know the song, Crazy Little Thing Called Love. You know, we know that, okay? When we think about that, or when we think about Feel Like Making Love, we think about those, we're thinking about that romantic, that emotional, that makes us feel good emotion. But what Jesus was talking about when he, with love, when we make love, what we are doing is helping other people. That's what making love is. I'm sorry to take away any other definition. Who defines it that way? If I say from now on, if you want to make love, what you're going to do is you're going to go outside of yourself and you're going to help someone who needs that. How many of you would buy that definition? Oh, I'm glad there's some of you. That's what Jesus dared to command. But you know something? When we think about love and having someone love us and us loving someone else in new relationships, and we get that pitter-patter, that feeling in our hearts, and we just want to be with them all the time, and we want to spend our days with them. We want to call them. We want to text them to remind them of how much we love them. There's so much more than that. And the kind of love about which Jesus speaks pushes us beyond our human limitations. Let's think about this a little while, okay? You're dating someone, okay? You got this boyfriend-girlfriend thing going on. And all of a sudden, he or she says, I command you to love. Now, how many of us would accept that from a partner? I command you to love me. It doesn't work that way. But Jesus gets away with it. And you know that definition of love also works in our relationships. Because when we enter into a marital relationship, it calls from within us the best that we can be. What brought us together may have been that Eros love, but what holds us together is agape love, the kind of love that God has for us. That is what Jesus was speaking. You know, in this passage, Jesus gives the world the right to judge us. They will know you are Christians by your love. And if the world out there doesn't see love here, they can make that judgment. Now, as we love one another, we can't always help. You know, it's most difficult to help our family members. Have you seen the movie A River Runs Through It? One of my favorite movies. Reverend McLean is preaching. One of his sons has problems with alcohol and gambling and is killed because of that. And in his final sermon, he said, each one of us here today will at one time in our lives look upon a loved one in need and ask the question, we are willing, Lord, but what if anything is needed? For it is true that we can seldom help those closest to us. Either we don't know what part of ourselves to give, or more often than not, the part that we have to give is not wanted. And so it is to those we live with and should know who elude us. But we can still love them. We can love completely, even without complete understanding. One final comment on Jesus commanding that we love one another. Jesus knows that we can't do that by ourselves. And so when he says, love one another, as I have loved you, we are given the power to move beyond our limitations. We are given the power of God's Holy Spirit. Amen. I would like to invite our graduates and Ellie to come up to the front of the church. Come on up here so everyone can see you.
Okay, am I?
I don't need this for power, do I? Okay. You will need this for power. I've got my own power. Okay? So, we've got two graduates this year. These two were in the first class that I confirmed. So there's something of completion here. Graduating and going on, and tell us what you are going to be doing.
Well, I'm hoping to go to MATC College and join the animation program.
Okay.
Hopefully become an animator for the future.
All right.
Going to Northern Michigan University for a degree in forensic science.
Oh, you got, okay.
I just wanted to say a few
okay.
words.
Okay, there you go. You don't need this thing, you can use that one.
First, I would like to thank Pastor Doris for inviting me to return to Concordia to present the Dave Hines Scholarships. And today's seniors, they were just toddlers when Dave was pastor here, so they didn't really know him. However, members who did knew that he had a great sense of humor, and he could use that humor to provide hope for the future. Recently, I read one sentence in a book that tied together his humor with his faith. And so now, I'd like you all to close your eyes. Just close your eyes. Nothing drastic is going to happen. Imagine a flower blooming on a vine. And look closely at the flower. Now here's the image I want to leave with you. Humor is a petal on the flower of hope, and hope blossoms on the vine of faith. Mm-hmm. Now you can open your eyes. So, to the seniors, I'd like to say, keep your sense of humor, and remember that your faith in Christ will always support you on your way forward. Ooh. And now, Cassie, here is a big kind of scholarship for you in Michigan. And here is one for you, even as you go to school in Madison. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And now I would like you to turn to, oh, you can go sit down. Yeah. Okay. I think 38 in the hymnal. And I'd like to invite Scott and Holly Neal to come up to the front of the church. Another of our transitions. Now, all the two of you are going to have to say as I will. Okay? Huh? You need a book? Okay. I want you to stand by the baptismal font because membership in the United Methodist Church and transferring membership from one congregation to another is a part of our baptismal covenant. As members of Christ Universal Church, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to express to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will. As members of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service? If so, say, I will. Members of the household of God, I commend these persons to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has given you, and we welcome you in Christian love, the body of Christ, and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. Okay. All right. So this is official. Holly and Scott come to us from the Plover United Methodist Church. We know that recently that church burned, and they will be rebuilding. You haven't heard. Okay. All right. So, welcome among us. Welcome among us. And I know that the bulletin says Sunday school teachers now, but I want to invite John up. You can go sit down. There is an order of commissioning for our Stephen leaders, and so we want to commission John and Holly today. You have been trained as Stephen leaders at a Stephen Series Leaders Training course and have been asked to serve as Stephen leaders here at Concordia. That is a gift that you give to us, to lead us in this ministry of equipping and caring. As Christians who are a part of the priesthood of all believers, all of us are called to offer ourselves to God in thanksgiving for what God has done for us and continues to do in and through Jesus Christ. It is our privilege to recognize and support those who are trained for specific ministries in this congregation, and today we recognize and affirm Stephen Ministry and these leaders who will direct this ministry. Because of your gifts, your calling, your training, we charge you with these responsibilities: to build awareness for our growing Stephen ministry, to solicit the commitment of this congregation to Stephen ministry at every opportunity, to recruit, select, and train thoroughly as Stephen ministers those members of this congregation whose gift it is to share one-to-one caring ministry, to use the resources of this community as appropriate to enrich training and ongoing supervision of Stephen ministry in this congregation, to work with your pastor, Pastor Claire, of this congregation, to identify members who could benefit from this confidential caring ministry, to assign trained caregiver to those most appropriately in need and those who most appropriately fit the person's need, to supervise these confidential caring relationships and offer regular opportunities for continuing growth in the skills and practice of caring ministry. Now the answer here is, I will, and ask God to help me. Will you assume this ministry in the confidence that it comes from God?
I will, and ask God to help me.
Will you nurture the skills you have learned and use them in service to others to support, encourage, and build up and heal people in all of their needs?
I will, and ask God to help me.
Members of this congregation, will you open your hearts to the ministry of these Stephen leaders and pray for them as servants of Christ? If so, say yes with the help of God. We trust that your pastor will support the ministry of these trained Stephen leaders, affirm the training of Stephen ministers, carefully refer all trained caregivers to those in need. As your pastor now, I will do that. Let us pray. Glorious God, you have called these people, John and Holly, to lead us into new paths of caring ministry. You have gifted and empowered them for this task. Grant them service. Grant them joy in their service and a spirit of bold trust in you, that their ministry may stir us to greater caring and more fruitful service. Help us all to be both willing servants and thankful recipients of this ministry, so that your name may be glorified. Your people live in peace, and your good and gracious will be done. Through Jesus Christ. Amen. We now want to recognize and give our appreciation to those who have led our Sunday school during this year. I'm going to ask you to stand where you are. John Budd and Bruce Cook have led the CARES class. Roger and Jan Cole, and Doug and Barb Holtberg, the Doubting Thomas. Tom Andres and Jeff Virtue, the ACTS class. Layla Drescher, youth group and 6th through high school. Sue Evans, 4th and 5th grades. Lisa Wenzel, 2nd and 3rd grades. Scott Allier and Irene DeVoe, pre-K through 1st grade. And Maria Andres and Andrea Mock, the music. Will you express your gratitude for their leadership? And if it worked, some high fives.
Okay. I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should love one another. Let us with gladness offer to God the gifts of our labor, life, and love. I invite the ushers to come forward. Please join me in the prayer of thanksgiving on the screen above. With your abundant love, you bless us beyond measure. Accept these gifts for your mission. May they be a testament to your love for us as we share them in love for you. For Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Are there people or situations other than these in transition that you would like us to pray for this morning and through the week? Okay. Gasser, right?
Right.
Okay. Yeah. You know him as what?
Beezer?
What's her name? Okay. Okay. Yeah, so a week ago there was a nasty accident out on 12, and he died immediately. She's in the hospital yet. Yes.
I have two things. One, a friend of our family who was listed in the prayer list for a while, Jamie Balwig, and she's now on hospice.
Okay, Jamie Balwig is now on hospice. Yes, yes. Yeah, that's a highlight. Okay, yes, and I just skipped right by that. But Mackenzie Halling graduated from, got a bachelor's degree last weekend, and she is going to be working in her area of journalism and advertising. Okay, so congratulate her and also congratulate Katie on her receiving her master's degree. Let us pray. Lord, listen to your children praying. In this season of Easter rejoicing, we offer prayers of thanksgiving and praise because it is you, O God, who raised us to new life in Christ. We pray for the well-being of your creation, that we would do all in our power to help it to heal. We pray for the life of the church at a time when there is much turmoil. We pray for the welfare of your world, that young and old would strive to live together in harmony. We pray for those who suffer any violence, any pain, any grief, physical, emotional, spiritual. We pray that the love that is made known to us in Jesus Christ through this community of faith would wipe away every tear from people's eyes and give them peace. For those who have died, we pray for their families as they walk through difficult days. For those who are ill, that they would have your healing spirit and you know how best you can heal us. We pray for those who are in transition, for our graduates, for our new members, for our Sunday school leaders and all of the students as we go into a season of summer. We pray for our Stevens Ministries. For so many blessings and for answered prayers, we give you thanks through Jesus Christ. And we pray as he taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
May the love of God through Jesus Christ be in your hearts, your minds, and your spirits as you go forth into God's world. Be bearers of peace and hope to all you meet, and may God's peace be with you always. Amen. Please join me in singing our closing hymn, They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love, number 2223 in the Black Hymnal.